Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
So we are, we're here now. We're in this series. There's no party like a Jesus party because a Jesus party don't. But I found in Revelation, I found when John was talking, he said it was on the Lord's day and I was in the spirit and the angel came and said, write these things. So I know about the Jesus party, but do you know a Holy Ghost party is the same way? So ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't. So we're going to get right to it. So, all right. So here's a couple things for somebody. The table is set. I went to and officiated a wedding yesterday. And when I met with the couple, I didn't know them very well. And they reached out. I was like, absolutely. And as we met, we hit it off, right? But it was a while before the date would come, before they actually would stand face to face and to enter into a covenant by giving their vows. But they were expectant. They were looking forward to the day. And then yesterday came and the table was set. And when we got there, we had gone through the rehearsal and we knew what to do. And then God showed up. And when God showed up, talking about great love, as I watched them stand face to face, look into each other's eyes and give vows that came from the depths of their hearts, it reminded me of today. I wonder if we might, wherever we are, that we would look Jesus face to face, eye to eye, and receive the love and the covenant that he is making with us, because he says that he is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And that it's time. If I say, look, if I say it's time, you say, let's go. It's time. If I say, let's preach a little while. If I say the wait, you say it's over. The wait. The wait. It's time. Jesus, this whole pericope is about the wedding feast of the Lamb. And it's time because the table is set. So in Revelation, I thought, it's a feast. When there's a feast, there's more than enough. There's enough for everybody. We're not talking about potluck here. Potluck is good, but when there's a feast, there's more than enough for everybody. So wherever you are, no matter where you're sitting, no matter how you came into this place, he sees you, he knows, and there is enough. When there's a feast, it's abundant. God has more than enough, but there's abundance for everybody. It's not to be so much prosperity, but if you're walking with God, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the world that they that dwell therein, you're going to walk in abundance. And I'm saying, listen, who in here got an abundant of joy? If you got some joy, can you say amen? Amen. If you got some peace in this house, can you say amen? Amen? I'm talking about the people with abundance. If you have an abundance of joy, can you say hallelujah? God is good, amen. When there is a feast, it's a spread. It's extraordinary. It's a celebration. So can we celebrate this morning? And I'm saying, can we celebrate with some sense? Can we celebrate with some sense? So sometimes it's the simple that confounds and compels the things that are wise. It's the little things. It's the understanding that allows for us to mature in our faith. We can chew it, we can digest it. So today, I just want to be able to walk through what it means for us to have victory. Why in Revelation 19, when we get there, they're already partying? You see, when we get to Revelation 19, we're already late for the party. Because in Revelation 19, they're already at a place of hallelujah and salvation and glory. But we have to go back and see what they're celebrating. They're celebrating the fact that Babylon has fallen. Babylon, the one who was symbolic of evil and wickedness in this world. They're celebrating the fact that Babylon, the great prostitute, the infidel, the unfaithful one, Babylon was, and they tried to take human beings, humankind, and put in the place of God, to put in the place of the deity of God. And as a result, that was ridiculous. So God had to disperse them. God had to bring judgment, and he dispersed them by confusing their language. And so when he did that, Babylon was dispersed. But anything that has a Babylonian spirit, anything that tries to usurp the power of God, is considered a Babylon. And so even systems and economic power, anything that exalts itself above God, it's like a Babylon. And God says, I come to tear it down. You may have some things in your life right now that you're putting in front of God. That's a Babylon. And he's saying, you got victory. You don't have to stay in that place. He's saying to all of us, anything that exalts itself against God, he said, is an infidel. The Babylonians, they were all about idolatry. They was going after other gods. They were a whoring after other gods. They were unfaithful. And they needed to be judged. So what are they celebrating? Well, they're celebrating the fact that Babylon has fallen. We're late to the party. It says after this, they say, I heard a sound like a vast crowd in heaven shouting hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power. They're already going in. And unless we skip right by it, hallelujah for salvation. God, do you remember the time that he met you where you were and you opened your heart? And you say, God, please come into my life. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. God, I need you to come in and God, be my guide and my lead. I will be my ruler. God, I need to be able to follow you. You are my savior. Hallelujah, salvation. Hallelujah, glory. Hallelujah, God, because I see you, God, when I wake up in the morning. I see your glory with the wind blowing and the sun rising and setting, God, and I see your glory everywhere. Hallelujah, God, I see your honor. You deserve it, God. You are an awesome God. In fact, what they're celebrating is the fact that he's a righteous judge. He's righteous. He's not going to let those things that should be judged escape. Babylon has fallen, and they're celebrating. God, you are a righteous judge. His judgments are true and just. And as the people of God, it may not line up with the way we think it ought to line up. It may not look like what we ought to look like, but by faith, we put our confidence in an almighty God because his judgments are true. And God, we trust you and we celebrate you. We celebrate you, God, because you are a righteous judge and you redeem us. God, you snatch us out of the fire. God, you take us from undeserving to making us deserving. That's what you do, God. He says, he has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. All right, as a pastor here, I'm just gonna say this. There are some things, some immorality that happens in and throughout our world that we don't talk about. And today, I want to mention something that is happening in this church. Pornography is a struggle with men and women. And we don't talk about it. There will be a meeting, a men's group, starting August 10th that will happen on Saturdays. And I was going to send a newsletter. I'm saying it from the stage. That's a darkness and that's a lie from the devil. And sometimes we isolate because we can't turn to anybody. And enough is enough. And I'm saying from this stage on August 10th at 10 a.m., room 304. I don't know how you're going to get there. Men, this is a men's opportunity. Women, we're coming. But I'm saying enough is enough. That's just one of many. And if we can't talk about it, how are we going to be about it? Immorality, sexual immorality, that's a Babylon. And it has fallen. He has the righteous judge. He's given power to overcome all of it. And it's day to day. The thing about it, and I'm not going to stay here too long, the thing about that one, shameful. Can't talk about it. Can't turn to no one. But every day, struggle, struggle, struggle. There's a light in this place, in this lighthouse. And if you can't get it here, where you gonna get it? Amen. So they're celebrating the judgment, the righteous one. They also have reverence. They have reverence for him. He said, and again, there were voices that rang out, praise the Lord, the party is happening. The smoke of the city of the Babylon, the smoke is coming up. The 24 elders, now look, the 24 elders sitting around the throne and also the four beasts, the angels, they too fall down and worship him. How dare we not be willing to say hallelujah. God, you're worthy. God, you woke me up this morning. God, if it wasn't for you, I'd be out of my mind. God, your grace and your mercy never runs out. And they worship him because they revere him and they recognize that he is worthy of our praise. Celebrate. I don't know what you're waiting on. I'm not saying right now, but in your hearts, it's not about just your heart, your lips. It's your heart posture. Something ought to be moving on the inside of the simplicity of the word of God that's saying, God, you are who you say you are. Thank you, God, because I can celebrate that you are my savior. I see your glory. God, you deserve the honor. Everything you do, God, is because you are an awesome God. They're celebrating. It goes on in verse 6, says, then I heard again. If that wasn't enough, what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, and it was like a roar of mighty ocean waves that were crashing like thunder. Sometimes our praise and our worship, it can be as quiet as it needs to be. Sometimes it needs to be loud. Sometimes we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing and to his courts with praise. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? It's a celebration that he deserves. Why? He reigns. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the author and the finisher. He is everything. And I dare somebody who's in this house today to extend your hand. Find a place, do something you've never done, and say, God, I'm going to try again. I dare you to marry him every day. I dare all of us to look him eye to eye and say, God, I love you. Every day. Not just when you're on the mountaintop, not just when you need a hand up. Every day. Every day, begin your day with saying, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And understand that means you. Alpha and Omega. He's everything. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's omnipotent. He's got all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. I'm not benevolent. He can give you what you need. Everything we need, he's got it. So if that ain't enough, we get to the text. They've already celebrated. The party's already going. And in the midst of the party, he talks about preparation. So if you thought that this was strictly consumption this morning, this is about your part and my part. There's a preparation that is happening. It says, let us be glad. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice. And let us give honor to him. Because if we don't do it, somebody told me the rocks gonna cry out. Jesus. For the time has come. For the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's why we're here. There's a wedding feast of the Lamb of God and the church. All of humanity, all of it, as John gives us a glimpse of heaven, all of it culminates with the wedding feast of the Lamb. Can I talk about the Lamb? It was John the Baptist that says, behold, the Lamb of God. And it was the Lamb of God that was so important, because from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, when sin entered the world, there needed to be an aversion of sin. They were naked and they hid themselves with leaves, but that was not satisfactory. God covered them after he had sacrificed an animal and covered them with skin. it in some ways introduced a sacrificial system to sin. And in that place, blood was necessary. The sacrifice of a lamb was necessary for an aversion to sin. Even when the final plague came and it was going to kill the firstborn, they had to kill a lamb and smear it over the doorpost for the Passover so that when the death angel came and recognized the blood of the lamb, it would pass over. I'm going somewhere. It was the Lamb of God. In the beginning, in the Old Testament, in order to have an aversion of sin, they had to kill a lamb. And then at the Day of Atonement, the priest had to go beyond the Holy of Holies and present all the sin. And it was a blood sacrifice. But it was only temporary. It could only be temporary. But God had a plan to redeem all of us. And what God chose was his son, the perfect Lamb of God, to be the propitiation. Propitiation is just a big word for satisfaction. Only Jesus can satisfy our sin. And when he died for everybody. How do I know? John said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So just in case you thought it wasn't you, talking about me. Without the shedding of blood, there cannot be the remission of sin. And on this first Sunday, we are reminded of the perfect Lamb who went all the way to Calvary. And he died for your sins and my sins. And because he died, we can live. That's why we celebrate. That's why we prepare. Let us be glad and honor him. Because she has prepared herself. Now listen, the preparation, we, the bride, the church, we can't prepare ourselves. I know what it says, but can I explain? The way that she prepared herself was by what was given. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. The only way we are made clean, the only way we are purified, is by the blood of the Lamb. The only way that we can wear the white linen and put it on is if we're given a son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, this is the invitation. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Whosoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want to prepare? I know I'm screaming. If you want to prepare, hear it, research it, but believe it. When you believe it, receive it. When you receive it, accept it. Accept it. Because we can't do nothing about it. He gives us everlasting life. The good deeds of the people has to do with the deeds of the one who died for all of us. And we put on the white linen. We put on purification. We put on justification. We put on sanctification. We put it on because it is given to us. How dare we walk away from the bride clothes when the bridegroom has come to prepare us. Says to all of us, the preparation. Here's an example. In Matthew 25, it was the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. There were 10 bridesmaids. The Bible says 5 were foolish and 5 was wise. Those who were wise, they knew that they were trying to join the party. They were trying to join the procession of the wedding party. And they knew that they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. But everybody knew that they needed to bring a lamp. They needed to bring oil. And in that space, they brought it. Some brought extra oil, and some did not. And I'm saying that sometimes we can be preparing with the minimum amount. We do as much as we need to do to be in the company, but we know that sometimes we don't know the day or the hour. So everything that we can put on an extra and say, God, hallelujah, amen. God, here I am, use me. Whatever you can do. And in that space, honor God with our motives of our hearts so that when he comes, we're ready. So in this text, the bridegroom, verse 6, at midnight, a shout arose. And they say, he's coming. Yeah. Can I just say this? Ready or not? He coming. Ready or not? He coming. So bridegroom said, he's coming. Come and meet him. And those who had fallen asleep and had little oil, the oil ran out. But the wise people had enough oil. They lit their lamps and they went in. It was time. And the ones who didn't said, hey, give me some of your oil. And if he's like, no, man, you got to go to the shop, buy you some oil for yourself. Sometimes we say, as a good Christian, man, I want to walk with you. I'm going to be there for you. But I have to remember, you have to remember, I'm not God. You're not God either. Yes, we help. Yes, we share. But make sure you have enough oil for yourself. So when the time comes, you're grounded, you're ready, because when the door opens, it's time to go in. So the shout came. They didn't give him any oil. The door got locked. He said, I don't even know you. The bridegroom's like, I don't even know you. So then, not only the celebration, because he's worthy to be praised, we celebrate him because he reigns. We celebrate him because he's to be revered. We celebrate him because he is our all in all. And we prepare ourselves best we can because we don't know the day or the hour. You know, I thought about, man, it would have been great in this sermon if we could prepare, invite people, and then celebrate. It didn't work that way. They celebrated the victory over Babylon. Then they prepared themselves, and then the invitation comes. That's where we are. So the invitation is right here. Come on, right here. An invitation came. He said, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed, happy, joyful are those who are invited to the wedding feast. We're all invited. You're all invited. Everybody's invited to the wedding feast. Everybody is invited. And he said, bless those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so I thought about, okay, so what are we talking about? All are invited to the wedding. Jesus also told them in Matthew 22, a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast. Sounds similar to what we're talking about. And the king prepared it for his son. But when the banquet was ready, table was set, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. And they all refused. Then, we keep going. It says verse 4, so he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fat calf have been killed and everything is ready. The table is set. Come to the banquet. It's an invitation. I don't have my phone. They didn't accept it either. He sent other servants, if I remember. And the other servants, they were ignored. They were insulted. The Bible says that they laid hands on them and they killed them. So in that space, while the table was set, everything was ready, he said, look, go wherever you need to go. Go to the highways, the byways, go to the back alleys, go down University, hit 6th Ave, go wherever you need to go. Invite everybody. We want the banquet hall to be full because we want everybody who want to come to come. So what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? If you're here today and you know, God be praised, that you are secure, you've accepted Christ, you at some point the invitation came and you said, yes, Lord, and you know by faith, not that you got it all together, you're still making preparation, you're still working on it, but you know your soul salvation is secure. You know it. And you're here, and maybe you don't know. Maybe you've never accepted the invitation. Maybe you didn't even know there was an invitation and that you were invited. Maybe you knew you were invited, but you didn't think that you had the right clothes on. You didn't think you had the right attitude. You didn't think you had the right stuff because you don't understand all this church stuff. The simplicity of it is if you hear it, you believe it, you receive it, and you accept it. And you confess with your mouth that you too, like everybody else, is a sinner. And you need a savior. And you ask a loving God to come in and to dwell inside your heart to help you to figure out how to navigate this life, because you've been doing it by yourself. You've been thinking that you're not worthy to come to the banquet. And now you hear this word and the invitation is extended to you. My wish is that there'll be no one here or to be full. The table is set. Everything is ready. So, the invitation. Behold, the Lamb of God. He comes to take away the sins of the world. It is the Lamb of God that provides justification. He makes us right. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He gives us sanctification. He makes us holy. Behold the Lamb of God. He comes to take this away that's in the world. He makes us clean. He purifies us. And when we understand that and we accept the simple truth of the word and the invitation, we can join the party. Because there's a party going on in heaven. We just saw it in Revelation 19. And we are invited to the party. So if you're here today, very simply, if I have some prayer partners in the house, any prayer partners, please come forward. Our prayer partners. Amen. God bless you, Brandy. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Pastor Webb, would you come as well and just be present, please? If you are here today and you have never accepted Christ, it's a sinner's prayer. It's what you do with your heart. And you want to start on that journey. If you want to be in a place, in a space where you are secure, you know, I'm still working on it, but boy, I'm not what I used to be. And you're willing to turn and start following an almighty God, the one who already defeated Babylon, the one who already given you the victory. And you're ready to celebrate him and look him eye to eye every day and say, Jesus, I love you. And you give your vows every day and you're ready. Those who would, just come. And we're just going to say a sinner's prayer. And we're going to know that when you leave the house of God, that your salvation is secure. So very simply, if you're here, would you accept the invitation? See you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You ain't the only one. Yep. You ain't the only one. You ain't the only one. And it's up to you. Come on. Come on. Yep. Yep. Already leaning in. That's what it should be. You can go to anybody. Anybody. They'll pray with you. Yep, they'll pray with you. Yep, yep. And there's more, and there's room, and there's room. If we can't come to the house and acknowledge some stuff, you can pray with them, or I'll pray. There's room. We're not gonna rush this part. This is life-changing. Because it's the same God that met me in 1986 in that little dorm room. It's the same God that's moving right now. The same one. If you're on top, wave at me. Let me know you're coming down, and we'll wait for you. We'll wait for you right now. Are you coming down? Just let us know. The celebration won't continue until you're done. Come on, I see you. You wave at me, okay? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, 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 yeah. Today, security, security, security today. We're waiting for you. Security today. Listen, there's not, sometimes, remember the prayer when I started? And we're in good time, by the way. Remember the prayer when I started? That one who was on the edge? That one. That one. You're still on the edge. Today, some security. Today, with your heart, will you come? Will you be bold? And by the way, we'll wait after. We'd do it anytime. But it's a bold statement to say, God, I'm coming. I'm coming. There's another one? Yep, yep, two more. Yep, we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him. Come on, Christian. Come on, man. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. This is, yeah, just your heart. Just your heart. You give him that. Because this changes things. Like, and the security to know. If you're sitting where you're sitting, and you're still making preparation, and you've done this part, you're good. But if you're wavering and you don't know, we can provide some security today. Father, the one, as we close, the one that's here, God, we pray now that we would allow for a room and space for them to come and to know that they're good. God, that you see them, that you see the effort, you see them coming forward, the boldness and the courage it takes for them to get up, and they're here. We thank you. Amen. All right. While they are praying, I'm going to pray a prayer over all of us, no matter where you are, that you would know that you're invited to this heavenly party. Father God, we are overwhelmed by your faithfulness because you don't miss. And God, wherever he or she, wherever they are, no matter how old they are, if they believe it and receive it and accept it, God, cover them with the blood of the Lamb. Give them their white, pure linen clothing. Let them know, God, that you are their Savior and their Redeemer. And God, those who are here who didn't come up, but they wanted to, right where they are, let them repeat after me. Let them say it with all their heart. Let them know that this is you too. The words that he said at the end was true. Repeat after me. God, I believe in my heart that you, God, raise your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life, walk with me, talk with me, hedge me in, and I'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for an almighty God, amen. Okay, can I just ask all those who came, if you would just, we just want to walk with you. It would be shameful that you come up here and then you just go back out and we say, good luck. Will you please let us know who you are at our New to Hope Elam Center? Stop by. We're not going to bug you, but we will walk with you. That is our mandate, amen? So please, even if you didn't come up, but you want to stop by, let us walk with you as a church, as a family. Let us walk with you, amen? Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.